One. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. For one, I apologize if you hear air conditioning in the background. This is the first ever episode recorded at my summer apartment, where I am doing school stuff and working out of this summer. I have been deep in the grind of real life and actual work as I use my handy phone app to turn off the AC. But you are listening to this purely because Trey Watkins is the man, and the only reason you are still subscribed to this podcast feed is because that man has set up two wonderful things. We did a Julio Jones reaction. What was it called? Twitter Space. That was fun. And then Trey did an excellent job. I am about to cue this up before I go to bed tonight. Doing a quick AFC South roster reset. Can we call it that? What do you want to call him, Trey?
I think you could call it basically like a check-in of like where we are before we start minicamp and before we go off into this. Gosh, I was about to cuss so bad, Eric. I'm so sorry. Let's go.
This is a good reminder for Tyler, who is one of my more foul-mouthed guests, that I have cleaned up this establishment. And if you make me edit this, I'm going to be very angry because I'm very tired and I would really just like to hit end, watch this thing convert, throw it in to multi-track, throw in the intro, outro, export, throw it on the website, go to bed. That's kind of my plan. But if you guys make this difficult, there's going to be hell to pay. So I just want to, you know, Tyler got a warning, but no, this is a family show.
This should not be a family show. We're three young people stressed out trying to talk about football, bro. This shouldn't be family oriented. This should be literally rated R.
Listen, I think that we can, one, I think that swearing while talking about football, one, is a sign of low intelligence. It means you don't have any, you can't find anything more. You can't find anything more articulate to say than some cuss word. I mean, I don't, get me wrong, I love swearing. I swear on Twitter. I swear in my personal life, but over the airwaves, I mean, we're talking about football. There's no reason to swear. We can find much more articulate ways to communicate our thoughts to the audience than cussing. Now, let me just give you a rundown of what's fair game. Ass, damn, hell. A little bit. I mean, just keep it PG-13. Don't make me, you know, cut the F word, you know. Okay. I don't know. Here we are into this tirade. But, I mean, I truly do believe that, Trey. I mean, you don't swear that often because you always have – you don't because you always have something intelligent to say.
See, that's on Twitter. In my personal life,
I know, but I'm telling you, am I not right? You only swear when you don't have something intelligent to say.
I only swear when I'm frustrated.
Right, because you don't have anything intelligent to say, so you're frustrated.
I don't think the basis of not swearing is a measurement of intelligence, Eric.
I do. I think that
you're weird.
I think I lack intelligence when I swear. I think there are better ways to communicate myself than swearing.
You're too caught up in the normality and normal ways of the world, Eric. Everybody swears, dude. Get with the times, bro.
As I die. Yeah, man. Allergies suck. But No, I mean, we can have this discussion some other time. Tyler Moss is here. He's our guest today. This is a fantasy show. We are talking about fantasy football. Don't do that a lot on this show. Trying to get more into it. I have very terrible rankings that are really more tiers, I would say. I'm going to kind of make some marks as we go along. And hopefully there's not a, I think there's going to be a huge echo on this episode on my end because of just the way this apartment is. So again, to our listeners, the 18 to 20 of you that exist, please forgive me.
That's
but I mean, I just like to keep things realistic, Trey. Oh, we do have a good time, don't we? Tyler Moss is sitting here dying inside a little bit, shaking his head at us. I mean, people know what happened at the end of last episode. I mean, we went, I mean, God, how long did we talk about where international soccer was broadcast? That felt like that went on for half an hour just at the end of the last podcast, just for no apparent reason. We are truly one in the off season. I truly have not gotten to talk to Trey enough, which is always a shame for me because I like talking to Trey. And when you get us together, I like to talk and Trey likes to listen. Trey likes to talk and I like to try to listen, but eventually end up talking over Trey, which I hate about myself. So that's sort of the dynamics of the podcast. If you're joining us here on only what are like 350th episode or whatever.
Jeez, man.
I don't know. You haven't been doing them that long, but you've got to be. Oh, crap.
Unprofessional. Family-oriented podcast.
Yeah, I mean, truly unprofessional. Unbelievable. I mean, how deep in this podcast are we? How long can we go without letting Tyler get in a single word, Trey?
How deep is your love, PG's reference? All right.
It's Tyler. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how are you? Been living over there? We're having a time over here.
I am tired and drunk off tiredness and hungry. My throat hurts.
Life sucks.
Yeah, I mean, life is terrible. Where are we right now?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Part of me wants to totally scrap this and restart, but part of me also thinks this is gold.
RB number one. This is where we're at the current moment.
Tyler, why do we play fantasy football?
I was not prepped for this question, but I'll give a long-winded answer that comes out of my end. See, we're keeping it clean over here. Fantasy football is an escape from reality. Okay, in all honesty, fantasy football exists because I like to take money from my friends. So if we create a league and a format for me to do that in the most polite way possible, then that's how I like to handle it. I play it because I'm a Dolphins fan. And up until last year, football's on Sundays kind of miserable. So fantasy is a great escape from that. Fins up, I guess. Like, that's why I play. I play to take money and not watch the Dolphins. But you know, the Dolphins are relevant now. Again, we bike. Never left. So now I have a reason to continue cheering for my team on Sundays. And I'm cheering for my fantasy team as well. Woo.
Trey, why do we play fantasy football?
I can think of like two reasons on the spot. One, because in an essence, fantasy football is actually really fun. And two, we play fantasy football to stick ourselves in front of a TV for dang near 6 hours. Actually, not 6 hours, a full daggum day, hoping that your favorite player scores touchdowns. And also, banking on winning whatever cash you can get at the end of your fantasy league. I think that's probably the only upside of fantasy leagues, honestly. Just winning cash, honestly.
I play fantasy football because I hate myself. And
same.
Because I don't have a girlfriend.
That's a weird thing to admit on this podcast.
I think that is a weird thing to admit on this podcast. But also, I think, sort of funny in a laugh at Eric kind of way.
So basically, it's a moment of you tearing yourself down for comedic purposes?
For a greater good. Yes, indeed. 100%. See, but now we explain the jokes, and now it's just sad.
Okay.
I play fantasy football to give myself terrible anxiety because the punishment for the league I play in is a tattoo. And the last thing I want in my life is a tattoo of the winner's name somewhere on my body. I would really not enjoy that. So fantasy football is a sport of survival for me. I'm not very good at it, but here I am to do rankings on. So with that, let's get into these rankings. I mean, unless you guys want to unpack anything that we just talked about there.
Emotionally? No, I'm kidding. Let's go into the rankings.
Here we go. Tyler wants to leave already. That's sort of what I was aiming for.
What?
So how do I want to go through this? So for my fantasy heads out there, I have 23 running backs here, just 23, and I wanted to keep my rankings this year very, very, very small because I knew if I tried to make them big, I would suck. They still will probably suck, but my goal is to identify running backs that will be gone between round one and round four. Because honestly, if we're being honest with ourselves, any running back you take after round four is a total crapshoot. Unless it's Marlon Mack. I like Marlon Mack.
I love him. I got the jersey. You want me to bring it out? I can do it. But
no, I would not like that.
Love it. Yeah,
so here we go. Tier one. These are the guys that I think you draft this guy and you are probably making the playoffs. It's just a lock.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Your tier one guys are Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. Those are my top three. Why don't we go through tier one and two and then we can compare the two. Tier two, these are guys that if you get them and you get a solid team around them, you're in a really good spot. Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones. That would be tier two. So tier one, tier two, Tyler and Trey, I realize the error of my ways. I'm sharing these with you as we speak on Google Docs so you can see while we talk. What do you guys think about where I have these players?
Gotcha. Now we're jumping on the file here. We're jumping on the doc. All right. The diggity doc, whatever the kiddos are saying these days.
Now, don't spoil anything that we haven't talked about.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll be all right. I have my rankings up. Okay, so looking at the running backs, there's a clear flaw here. I see the King Henry, as some refer, at six. And at this point, I've given up on the regression. He's going to just do it again. He'll just be another top five running back and we'll just have to accept it. So yeah, you have him at six and yeah, I can accept that. And yeah, me having him at number five, I really shouldn't have an argument here, but I do. I just want to yell at you for a little bit.
Okay.
more to that, your first guy, we're perfect, we're golden. I have Kamara and Cook switched.
Ooh.
So I have Kamara at my two. They announced they're going to give him the volume. They announced this is now a running team. And it was before then, but the announcement really helps too. You're going to be quarterbacked by a combination of Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. I'm not believing in that. If other people want to, go ahead. I think
that seems like a flaw on your part.
Like, people are, you know, and so there's a thing called Superflex for people who may be unfamiliar with certain types of fantasy football where you need two quarterbacks and you got to draft them. So people will take guys like Taysom.
Jameis. Take Jameis.
And I don't understand it because it's just.
Because Jameis Winston's going to explode the league. I mean.
But I just don't get it. I like. Come on now. Go with Kamara. Kamara's going to be amazing because he's just going to get the volume to be amazing. Also, please go get Latavius Murray because if Kamara gets hurt, then he gets the work. And it worked last year. Keep up the trend. Big brain moves.
Roll. But isn't Dalvin Cook going to get the same type of volume?
Yeah, he will. I haven't been 2-3, so it's I'm not really arguing too much. I just think we'll give Kamara the edge, just for fun, you know, because we're like that.
All right, a guy I have here that I really don't believe in, that I hate my ranking. At four, Joe Mixon.
What?
I absolutely hate that I did this.
Yeah, that's that. Even I'm not versed in fantasy.
If
that seems too high,
if I put him any lower, I knew the haters and losers would come at me. But I think Joe Mixon's totally unreliable. He has not played, he has played 10 games over 2 years. I mean, I don't 100% understand where the Joe Mixon fan club is coming from. The offensive line was a problem last year, and the only reason he was redeemable but was because he caught balls. So if you're not in PPR, he's really not worth drafting at all. I like Joe Mixon as a player. I want Joe Mixon to be good. Yeah. But as a fantasy option, Joe Mixon seems like just about the worst pick you could possibly make. And I would not touch him in the first round or even until like the last three picks of the second round.
Gotcha. So just saying you having him at the four makes me feel weird for the first time ever. Feel weird. I have Joe Mixon in the late teens and I'm not moving him up because I don't want to. That is terrible that I had to read that.
Air high five.
I hope the haters come after me. I hope they do.
Air high five, Tyler.
I was afraid of the later. I was afraid of the haters and the losers, of which there are many. I am a coward.
Hey, in the words of Taylor Swift, I'm fearless. So
yeah, you are absolutely fearless. Here's a guy I do believe in. Where I put it, Saquon Barkley, at number five. What do you think about that? I kind of think everybody's kind of sleeping on Saquon. They've been pretty quiet on him this offseason. I think he comes back, he just sets the league on fire.
He's my
number. Well, I mean, look. are we still, like, you know, cautious of trusting, like, any sort of star in Jason Garrett's, like, offense? Like, okay, Let me say it like this. Jason Garrett in Dallas, you know, was a train wreck for most of the time. He was painfully average.
But Zeke.
Yeah, but he had that monster offensive line and Dak was good. So now you have Daniel Jones, you have a sort of meh offensive line. And you remember what happened to that run game against that Steelers defensive line week one. You remember that, right? Saquon couldn't even budge. He couldn't even get a yard because he was getting, you know, slapped behind the line of scrimmage every single carry. I don't know. I don't know if I would put Saquon that high. I mean, I wouldn't drop him. Like, I think he'd be top 15, but I'd slide him closer to, like, maybe 10, 9, something like that. Just until I could see that there's some reasonable improvement with the Giants offensive line. And, you know, maybe I can dismiss my maybe unfair Jason Garrett hate. I don't know. Am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, I get it because he's a nightmare. And any man that claps the way he does, just not a man for me. But I am as my RB4. I commit to it. The talent is too good for him not to produce at a high level. If he plays all 16 games, he's not leaving the top 10. That's for dang sure. Look at me cleaning it up. He's going to finish top 10. If he... It's 16 of the 17 games, 15 of the 17 games, he's finishing in the top 10. And if he plays all of them, he's the top five back. Like it's just, if I'm wrong about that, I'm wrong about that. But the guy's fantastic. At some point, you stop playing is the situation relevant? You start playing, okay, is the talent just too good for him to fail? Like, yeah. It was the same with with Nick Chubb when the Browns were kind of still sort of piecing it together, the talent was just too good. You knew he was going to produce. Let me try and pull out some other guys. Guys like, I wouldn't say McCaffrey because McCaffrey was basically that entire offense for a long time. But guys like, you could say James Robinson last year and Travis Etienne of this year, where it's just like the running backs, they're good. And they're going to produce even in bad situations. So I think that'll always go and carry with Saquon. It's not a great situation. You don't love it. You kind of wish you had, you know, he was put in a system like Kansas City or Chicago or, you know, any system that would put the full weight into him and just run with him. But he's with the Giants. That's where he's at. He'll still produce, though, because he's just that good. I honestly – and I'm a huge McCaffrey truther. He may be the best running back in the league. He's just kind of in one of the worst situations in the league. So yeah. I don't know. But I think he's definitely top 10 if he plays even 15 games this year.
That's fair. Right.
So another guy that I think would really blow up here, Jonathan Taylor. He feels like a popular guy. He feels like a guy you could probably take with a top five pick and feel pretty good about. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy to think that?
Top five pick?
Yeah.
I'm gonna defer that to Tyler first.
Yep. So I actually wrote an article for Quick Plug Dynasty Nerds where I broke down all the 2020 rookies and their outlook for 2021. I did projections. I kind of looked at some target losses and vacated targets, not target losses. Clean yourself up, Tyler. Kind of looked at some trends and did some overall numbers crunching for the 2020 running backs and what they could end up doing for this upcoming year. So for Taylor, I slated him at 248 rushes, 39 receptions, 1,200 plus rushing yards, 39 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns. I mean, I think he's going to explode. That gets you
39 receiving yards. Did you misspeak? How many receiving yards?
329.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I must have messed that up. That lands him as the sixth running back for the year. That would have landed him as the sixth running back for the year. So I think it's very feasible. He's number six in my ranking strictly off of those projections. Dynasty wise, please go take him. I kind of realized, man, I really don't have a share of him. And I'm in a few leagues, so I try and grab as many different people and vary my rosters as much as possible. I realized I didn't have a share of him. I was picking sixth in a league, that was a super flex league. And the only other running back that was taken was McCaffrey. So I went ahead and took Taylor in that league. Now keep in mind, I have my Kamara shares. Obviously I'm really high on him and I have some Cook shares too. So it's kind of just me just going, you know, let me grab Jonathan Taylor. And if my projections are true and he finishes as a sixth running back this year in his sophomore campaign, I think that only means, hey, he's going to go even further up when Wentz gets more comfortable in the system. I think he's a mainstay. He's a lock for the top 10. I loved him in college. He produced very well last year when given opportunity. And yeah, Naeem Hines is there. And Marlon Mack does come back, but I don't know how much weight that takes away from Jonathan Taylor and what he's going to do. Because in the end, as a coach, your job is not to share targets and make sure everyone gets the same amount of rushing yards and everyone gets on the field and scores a touchdown and gets a juice box at the end of the game. Your goal is to win games, and Jonathan Taylor is the guy that's going to help you do that.
100%.
All righty. Let's move on to tier three. Surprise at the top of tier three, James Robinson, Nick Chubb, Mike Davis,
not that.
DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery,
good.
Antonio Gibson. End of tier three. Now, I just want to personally say, I want to have Antonio Gibson higher, but J.D. McKissick kind of scares me. The fact that he exists kind of scares me.
He takes a crap ton of pass.
Who scares you more, Travis Etienne or J.D. McKissick?
J.D. McKissick. I mean, I think that, listen, I'm not worried about Travis Etienne. Urban Meyer doesn't know how to properly catch him and also coach him. And also, James Robinson's still going to get all the touches. And, I mean, that means he's going to get some passes, too. I'm just really high on James Robinson. Don't understand why he's being so lowly ranked. I think Travis Etienne is going to be a total bust.
Whoa. I mean, because Travis Etienne is there. It's the same thing with McKissick. And even then, Etienne's better than McKissick already. So
I don't think Etienne's going to make much of a difference. I don't really believe in the guy. But I have no problem flipping Antonio Gibson and James Robinson. In fact, I'm going to do that right now on the fly.
Okay, you need to slide Mike Davis down, though.
Absolutely not. Let me give my reasoning there.
Okay.
Who is competing with him?
It doesn't matter.
No.
But
I believe.
But who is competing with him? Like, when he had no – when he had no competition in Carolina last year, he put up really good fantasy numbers.
Yeah, that's because he was in an offense that prioritized a steady
– Arthur Smith doesn't prioritize running the football?
Okay, I'm not saying – okay, Arthur Smith does prioritize running the football, but he's not a big priority guy when it comes to giving running backs extra touches outside of the run game.
Maybe that's different in Atlanta. Maybe he changes it up with Mike Davis because Derrick Henry is a little bit limited as a pass catcher. Okay, we can all admit that. Mike Davis is not.
Okay, but even when Derrick Henry, you know, wasn't getting his snaps, you know, on the field, and he was getting, you know, when his snaps were getting taken away by Deion Lewis, right? His snaps are getting taken away by Deion Lewis, like in what, 2019? Was that the year? What was it? 2019? Deion Lewis was Derrick Henry was getting his snaps taken away by Deion Lewis. And they were basically like splitting them, right? Or that was 2018. Either way. When Deion Lewis was in the game, you know, he was still getting his carries, you know, as a normal power running.
Was Arthur Smith even with the team in 2018?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, 2018. Yeah, he didn't become the offensive coordinator until 2019, excuse me. But even then, when the Titans, you know, put their whole, you know, offense behind Derrick Henry to play action game, that type of stuff. But even when they had Deion Lewis still as the backup, when they tried to, you know, give Derrick Henry the brunt of the snaps in 2019, Deion Lewis didn't get, you know, a prioritization of what, you know, take advantage of his skills as a pass catcher, you know, in the passing game, which I thought still would have been at least a reasonable sort of investment in his services. even when he was a highly paid backup running back at the end of the day. But still, Arthur Smith hasn't really shown that he prioritizes giving running backs extra snap or, you know, extra touches in the passing game like Mike Davis would in Carolina. I don't. That's just my worry when you're trying to, you know, draft Mike Davis. Right.
We can hear you playing with the mic.
Oh, whoops. My bad.
It's okay. I've made that mistake myself plenty of times.
Yeah, that is totally my bad.
No, it's all good, dude. No, I think that's a totally fair point. Tyler, one thing about tier three, and then we'll finish this list up because I'm losing steam.
I'm a massive Mike Davis fan, so I'm not going to give you one thing because I'm going to quickly say that. DeAndre Swift's a top 10 back. There's no one competing with him because I don't believe Jamal Williams is a person. No offense. David Montgomery finishes the RB6 last year. He is really good, and people hate him. I don't get it. Is he just like – is this like carrying from college where people are like, yeah, he's good? I'm like, yeah, he was the RB6 last year, and he's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
I think because
drafting him so late, I don't get it.
David Montgomery, like for a stretch, like
he was terrible last year.
No, see, it wasn't even the fact that he was like himself was like totally bad. It was just the Bears' offensive line couldn't get a single shred of push up front, not at all, and that's why the run game was so bad until the Bears' offensive line magically started creating holes for David Montgomery to run through like the last month and a half of the season. I think that's one of the reasons people are, you know, maybe might be scared, you know, of David Montgomery in terms of production. I don't know. That's just me, though, because when I watched the Bears do like the early part of the season last year, and that Bears offensive line couldn't get a shred of push. I mean, they added some reinforcements this year, but I don't know. I think that's probably one of the main reasons people are scared of my
Where of David. Do you have Ezekiel Elliott? That is my question.
He's not even on the list.
Unbelievable, Eric. Oh.
Eric, did you purposely keep Zeke off, or was that just a mistake?
Oh, I purposely kept Zeke off.
What?
I would not touch Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott was terrible last year.
Neither would I, but he's also my RB11. So,
dude, he was absolutely terrible last year. Why would you draft that guy in fantasy? Tony Pollard's going to be like their number one back by October.
Oh, no.
Not by October of this year.
Mid-October? Absolutely. By week eight, way. Tony Pollard will be the number
They're
one
still
back.
They're paying here. That guy a crap ton of money, bro.
Okay, no cool. Way. They'll use him on third down or whatever when they when –
You're
they,
insane, bro. I mean,
Tony Pollard is much better than Ezekiel Elliott at the moment. And okay. I think Zeke's – I mean, Zeke proved he was worn out and washed last year. I mean, he's going to continue to be worn out and washed.
So. Massive hype train on Myles Gaskin. We big support that.
Yes. So here is tier four, and I'll just put all these guys in tier four. J.K. Dobbins, Austin Eckler. Want to have him higher, Austin Eckler. But hamstring. Plus, there's actually a pretty good running back depth in Los Angeles right now.
Tyler's RB8, Austin Eckler. Oh, yeah.
You laugh, but last year, even when Eckler was healthy, he wasn't getting all the touches, and he was getting goal line touches stolen from him.
True.
Myles Gaskin, like that. Like Salvon Ahmed, though. He showed last year that he had something, and I think that he's gonna get some touches this year. So that's why he's low. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a weird one. He was a guy I just kind of forgot about, but also am totally unsure how to rank Chiefs running back because I don't know. What's your read on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyler?
We actually have him at the exact same spot, which is very fun. I hated him so very much out of college. He was my RB6 in last year's class.
Oh, you're biased then.
Oh, 100%. He is
probably terrible.
I tell people this. People are like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fantastic. And I'm like, cool, you watched 2020. I want you to spend some time watching 2019 when he was miserable. He's one of the worst pass blockers I've ever graded. It is very disappointing. And pass blocking is the one thing that matters the most to me. So out of here, I never touch him. I had a share of him in a league and I got rid of him because that's just where I'm at this point. I hate him. Screw him. How dare he?
That's mean.
Yeah, we're not very nice. But I haven't cussed yet. Or maybe I have. I just slipped. Shoot.
I mean, no, you haven't cussed yet. Yeah, so that's
keep it
good.
Clean for the kids. Yeah. Right.
For the kids, indeed. For the kids. Indeed. After Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, I think I have him too low. Ryan would say I have him too low. But I just don't trust what's happening in Philly right now.
You have most of the 24.
He's also very hurt.
Injured. I mean, he's injury prone, yeah. Really injury prone.
Chris Carson.
What?
I mean, Seattle's going to be okay. Chris Carson's always good. Ronald Jones, that one's weird. Don't understand how Tampa's backfield is going to work. Really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the San Francisco running backs. Wayne Gallman, because he was great last year, and Raheem Mostert under Wayne Gallman. I would not touch the San Francisco 49ers backfield in fantasy if you paid me $100. Because
why though?
It's totally week to week. I mean, am I right on this, Tyler? I mean, it just depends on the week. They're sort of like the Patriots. Like, it depends on who Kyle Shanahan wants to lean on during a certain week.
Yeah, he's a nightmare. Again, another one of those systems I don't touch. I don't touch. For a while, I didn't really believe in. I love Josh Jacobs. I do. I don't love John Gruden. So coaching situations.
I don't love Josh Jacobs. He didn't even make the list. He's a guy that didn't make the list.
Oh yeah, you're an interesting man.
I don't really like Josh Jacobs. I don't like Kenyon Drake either. I mean,
So hear me out. Now I hate that situation. So there's just some coaches I don't mess with. Kyle Shanahan can leave. Now Robert Saul will probably carry over the Kyle Shanahan VS where we can't trust running backs. So I don't want any Jets running backs.
I don't know. Michael Carter might actually be the guy.
I just don't want any Jets players. Period. It's the worst organization.
Yeah. Especially on the offensive side.
I mean. I hate that everybody's so negative on the Jets. They've got a new coach. Give them a chance.
I have a reason. It's because every single year, Jets fans tell me they're going to win it all or something. Some ridiculous.
I have never seen a Jets fan once ever say they are going to win it all.
Worst. They're a nightmare.
Trey, have you ever once seen a Jets fan say we're going to win it all this year? I have never once seen a Jets fan say we're going to win it all. I have seen Jets fans say, dude, we're terrible this year. Yeah, stop picking us.
Yeah.
Dude, please stop talking about us on the podcast. We know you're bad. Dude, why are you
contemplating jumping off the top of MetLife?
Dude, why are you doing a projected starters tweet about us? We're not even going to be good. You got to be nicer to Jets fans. I mean, Jets fans are by and large the nicest fan base on Twitter, I would argue.
Okay, that's not true. That is not true. That is just not true. You're running into the small majority or minority of Jets fans that are actually nice. Like the small. I could say small 100 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
Area.
The majority of Jets fans are complete. Oh, gosh, I want to say daggummit, bro.
Don't do it. Don't do it. We're so close.
Jets fans are some of the most miserable, rude, disgusting fans I've ever encountered, bro. That's what they are. That's what they are.
So mean.
That's what they are. And they can complain
and not
all they
based
want.
Off fact.
No, that's what they are.
And totally
that's what
untrue.
They are. Now look. I can understand their frustration because Woody Johnson is an idiot and he doesn't know what he's doing. But Jets fans are rude and they suck. I hate them. I don't like them. I despise them, actually.
See, because in the end, I don't need a reason to hate them. I just do.
Tyler, it makes sense. The Jets and the Dolphins flies under the radar, but used to have a pretty passionate rivalry.
Coming from us, burying them deep in holes. So.
But, Trey, I don't understand my hate. Okay, we're ending this. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us.
Good time.
We appreciate it. Trey.
This was so sloppy here.
I mean, it's going to be awesome. Trey, when is the next podcast coming out? Later this week?
I'm supposed to do like a sort of an AFC North roster check-in with Nick. And if Nick is watching or listening to this, I doubt he will. I'm so sorry. I'm so bad with last names. But I'm supposed to be doing an ASU North roster check-in with him on Wednesday, and then I'll have it out Wednesday night or Thursday morning, so. Whichever I feel like, because by the time I'm done with that, I should be back crap tired. So,
very good. Well, thank you guys for all the help, and we will see you all. I'm going to take another break because I can't do another one of these after another 6-day work week. I'm going to wait until, we'll say, last week of June to get back to the fantasy, but we will do a wide receivers episode. So check that out. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you. Oh, follow us on Twitter at Enzo Bob. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah and at Eric Jensen Sport. Trey, where can people follow you on Twitter?
TreyWalkin099. Actually, I'm so sorry that those people had to see my Euros thoughts for the past couple days. I'm so sorry.
And Tyler, where can people follow you on Twitter?
People cannot find me at all, because if they find me, they're going to yell at me because it's probably Jets fans. I think Eric's just pandering to the to the people who listen to the podcast. It's probably just a bunch of Jets fans. And I get why he does. You gotta live for the support, but I don't want them finding me. I'm just kidding. If you really felt like I engaged you, if you're like, you know what, I love Tyler's take on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He can't pass block at all. You're darn right. You can find me at Tyler Moss NFL on your Twitter. You can also email me, but I'm not going to give you that email. You can call me too, but I'm not going to give you the number. Been an absolute time. We've had some fun. We've shared a few laughs. I'm not on Instagram. Don't even look me up. You know, and if you're in Tampa, let me know. Maybe I'll do some recommendations on some places to go, huh? There, get on down here. We can hang out somehow.
We'll get you out of here. Thank you very much for joining us. The Lightning suck, Islanders in 4.